The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This episode sponsored by Apollo Neuro.
Having problems getting a good night's sleep? Apollo Neuro may be the help your body needs. Apollo Neuro is a wearable designed to calm your nervous system so you can fall asleep faster and sleep deeper without medication or side effects. It works by sending gentle, silent vibrations through your wrist that signal safety to your body, like a hug for your nervous system. The result? Fewer wake-ups, deeper sleep, and mornings where you actually feel rested. It's not just a sleep tracker. Apollo actively helps you regulate your body, and Smart Vibes AI automatically personalizes the experience for sleep, calm, focus, and recovery. It's scientifically backed, with clinical trial participants gaining up to 60 minutes of sleep a night. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Visit apolloneuro.com/audio and take $99 off today.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner. I'm the voice of Flint on G.I. Joe, and this is Knowing Is Half the Podcast, which is actually an appropriation of the original saying, knowing is half the battle, which was used in a number of public service announcements that have now been burlesqued on YouTube by a number of individuals, and I don't think there's a copyright issue at all. Have a good day.
On a mysterious night, BBQ appeared, bringing Harry Day. BBQ has changed everything in our lives. He's
everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. But oh dear Lord, are we not talking about G.I. Joe this one?
Here's something about me. I'm just gonna run right over your intro. Just before we started recording, I started singing that song with the lyric, I've never been to me.
Yes.
And I was like, shit, what's the actual name of that song? So I started typing, and for whatever reason, I got as far as and Google's like, you're looking for I've never been to me, aren't you? Yeah. Whoa. I'm pretty sure that's exactly what you're looking for.
They know you.
Shit. Google is...
I think it's listening, because every once in a while, have you guys ever searched for something that you've been talking about?
Yes.
People say this, and I'm still not buying it.
Has it never happened to you?
Sure, it's happened, but it's one of those things like, I was thinking of a song and I turned on the radio and the song was on. I'm a psychic.
No.
It's just, they are collecting information, but not at a real time space.
But I'm saying, like, it's such random. It's not like, oh, this is Gina. She constantly Googles stuff about feminism. I'm like, I will be like sitting there or texting with my brother, and he'll be like, oh, do you remember this episode of Amazing Stories that we watched when we were 6 years old and blah, 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 blah.
Awesome.
And I'm like, oh, I think it was called this, but let me check. And then I'll go to Google it and it'll be like, I'll get two letters in and it'll be like, and it won't even be like, oh, it will be. And I Google things in a very weird way, which maybe everyone does, but I'll Google things like, what was that episode of Amazing Stories I watched when I was 6 years old and it was about this? Like, I'm very, and it will.
You Google like an old person.
Yeah, and it, but it works every time.
No, I was sorry. No, we were looking at getting patio furniture.
Uh-huh.
We had not searched anything.
No.
Me and my wife had a conversation in the house about patio furniture. The next morning was a sponsored Facebook ad for patio furniture in
sense.
My feed.
No, this makes sense, and I will tell you why. Because obviously in your Google history, you've been looking up houses. You've been Facebooking
Maybe.
About we got a new house. This is like, there's a story before. like mini story, I promise, before we get too off track. But there's a story about a guy who target sales. They mail out things to people, like coupons based on their shopping habits. Uh-huh. And Target sent a 16-year-old girl prenatal stuff and baby stuff.
Right.
And the dad was furious. And so he called up Target and was like, why is my teenage daughter getting stuff about this? And they were like, oh, we're so sorry. We're so sorry. Sometimes we try and target them to like people's shopping habits.
Mm-hmm.
And Target had been predicting that women were pregnant before they told anyone. And then like a week later, the girl was like, Dad, I have to tell you something. I'm pregnant. And they had been able to like – because certain things like prenatal vitamins, like cocoa butter – you know, like a certain and apparently
damn,
women,
black people must be getting ads for pregnancy shit constantly.
But
I got ashy elbows and now I'm pregnant. What the fuck?
Maybe it's the cocoa butter that made them pregnant.
But yeah, your patio furniture makes more sense than my monster from Amazing Stories question mark
okay.
that I Google.
But I also it's crazy because I mean you know about me, it's like I post about the Detroit teams on Facebook pretty uh-huh. much all the time. Uh-huh. That's what I'm into. But then I'll all of a sudden get like only real San Jose Sharks fans will get it. And I'm just like, why? I've never once posted about the San Jose Sharks. Why the Washington Redskins fans agree. No, well,
I will
not
say
one
though, as like a non sports fan, I just assume sports people like all sports and all teams at all times.
That is oddly enough not the case.
Like anytime something sportsy comes on TV, if I'm with someone that I know that like at one time mentioned that they watched a baseball game, I'll be like, hey, curling's on. They mentioned curling in this. You like curling, right?
There you go.
Oh my God.
And, right. and this is in reference to Chan. Your song is in reference to Rubik the Amazing Cube. Let's try to get on track.
Right, right. Yeah. We're doing a podcast about that too.
Well, it's because you know we were confused because the cube's name is Rubik, but yet it is Rubik's cube.
Yeah.
Who is Rubik?
I have theories.
I mean, here's the thing. This could be like a Frankenstein style situation where there was a Dr. Frankenstein and he created the monster. But then, like, over the years, people conflated the two and they were just like, oh, that monster's Frankenstein.
They're calling the cube Rubik. The cube is calling itself Rubik.
Yeah, I think it probably like it, I think that there's two possibilities. It didn't have a name. The scientist who created it was named Dr. Rubik. And then that was the only word that it could say. And it was like Rubik. And then the kids were like, his name must be Rubik. Or he
Meathead.
Is fully his own creature, which like I would like to be. I wish I could say that I belong.
Rubik
only to
created
me.
Rubik, is what
but
you're saying.
I guess you can't have the show be Rubik's Cube and then name the cube Frank.
It's Rubik's it's all just, the way down, Ray.
This is
it's
what
Rubik's
I'm saying.
And turtles all the way down.
Some Inception level shit. I didn't want to bring it up, but here we are.
Yeah, I think Rubik created itself to create itself to create itself.
Wow.
To create itself,
guys. Which came first, the Rubik or the Rubik?
Wow, let Gina me... thinks that Rubik is a flat a plane,
uh-huh, uh-huh.
like the Earth.
Listen, I think that, you know, I feel like everyone obviously knows this. In the 80s, Rubik's Cube is a huge thing. Yeah. If any of the toy or the puzzle box, whatever they categorize it,
the Hellraiser box.
Puzzle box. Yeah, that's a Lamarckian device, by the way. I know these things because
if you solve a Rubik's
I don't
cube,
want to get
it opens hell, right?
Well, boy, I felt like it opened hell a few times during this episode.
I've never solved one, so I wouldn't know.
You know how I solve the Rubik's Cube?
You take the stickers off?
Yes, I do.
You seem like a sticker taker.
I take the stickers off.
But I will say that I think if any of the 80s toys had this terrifying, terrifying face... that would not have taken off as a toy.
Oh, no.
Because this thing is the most hideous piece of artwork that I have ever seen in my life.
Mostly upsetting. I mean, for people that nowadays who are probably too young to even appreciate it, what fidget spinners are right now in the year 2017, that's what Rubik's Cubes were.
Year 2017, on July 4th.
Yes.
Because if you, like 2 weeks from now,
it might not
be,
a thing.
Like, what the fuck is a fidget spinner? I've never
heard of it. You can tell that it's over because I just got into it.
We just got one as well.
Yeah. I just bought one and I love it.
I love it too.
It's the best.
It is the best. Before I got one, I was like, stupid kids and stupid things. And then I was like, oh yeah, I get what you're doing.
We had some guests over the other day and it was just like, Melissa, my wife, is just like, hey, you guys want to play with my fidget spinner? They're really fun. Hey, guys, they're super fun.
I'm going to say also, when you're watching something you don't want to be watching that's like really boring, like I have to watch a lot of The View and The Talk at work.
What don't you love about those?
Like frequently I would just pick up my phone, even though I have a computer in front of me, but it's like, it's when you're doing something you don't want to be doing, you pick up something and you're like, all right. And then you're like, ah, crap, I just missed what Julie Chen said. But with now I can watch it and play with my fidget spinner and actually absorb like what Julie Chen is saying.
Saving your job, fidget spinners.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, guys, the episode of Rubik's the Amazing Cube that we're watching is called Honolulu Rubik.
It's Rubik the Amazing Cube. God, you keep saying it wrong.
Listen,
it frustrates
Rubik
me.
Rubik the Amazing Cube.
Can we talk about this? Now, what is this theme song? Because the theme song opens up with like an old gypsy man.
That's what I wrote. I wrote, when is this show set?
I don't understand.
I thought, like, at first I was, because honestly, this was my train of thought. I was watching it and I thought, oh, when is this show set? Oh, maybe this is interesting. Maybe it'll chronicle his life from like World War, like Rubik's life from like World War One.
He's like,
maybe
the Wolverine.
He got buried. Maybe like Captain America. Like maybe he got buried and he like got found. And then all of a sudden there's like kids with this old gypsy man.
Yeah.
With a Romani.
Thank you.
Sorry. I was saying it because in the 80s it was okay
racist.
To say it.
I mean, here's
We're
the deal.
We're not in the 80s anymore, Gina.
When this was made, nobody didn't call him a gypsy man.
That's fair. Yeah.
Just for the record.
Yeah, exactly.
But also, if we're watching a cartoon about the Civil War, I don't want you people being all accurate, historically accurate, if you know what I mean.
That was different because there were people back then who did not say, who did not use the N-word. Like, even back then, it was offensive of saying.
So what you're saying is you're defending the racists.
I'm saying if I time traveled back to the Civil
I don't know
War
if
era.
Any of you can hear how far my eyebrows have raised, but they're pretty much into my hairline
I'm
right now.
If I time traveled back to the Civil War era,
don't you pull back, Ray?
I would be.
Don't
fine.
You pull back?
I would be fine saying to people, "Hey,
you guys go right ahead. I'll be over here."
I'm saying I could still blend in with like northern people and be like, "Hey, don't use that term. That's fucking offensive." But if I time traveled back to the 80s and I was like, "Hey, don't use the term gypsy," they would be like, "What? What do we call them?"
I mean, that's true.
Like, the N-word has always been offensive. It's never not been offensive. Like, there were enough people in the Civil War that were like, yo, shut the fuck up, dude. I would just be one of those progressive northern people that traveled back in time and told them to shut up.
Guys at home, the look that Chan is giving Gina right now is about as priceless as it gets. And the look that Gina is giving back to Chan, equally priceless. And they, whatever you're picturing, you are correct. So this episode of this show, Honolulu Rubik. So
oh,
we
no.
open up, we're in Hawaii.
This made me very nervous.
First off, like, where are these kids' parents? So the story of Rubik's Cube.
Yes, where are they?
No, they're on the plane.
There's so many things to unpack.
They're on the plane. And
they're on the plane?
That's right. They are on the plane, but then you never see them again.
They do say something about sneaking out.
Yeah.
But come on. I mean, this was a common theme in the 80s, I will say, that kids frequently were like.
Oh, sure.
And then one little lie would, like, get them out of it. Like, they would be like, oh, I was at Jenny's house. And the parents would be like, yep, that checks out. Whereas, like, my parents would be like, cool, we're calling them. And if you weren't there all fucking night, we're going to arrest you.
Every hour on the hour, we're calling Jenny.
Hold on a sec. Let's go ahead and deconstruct that real quick.
Yes.
Because this is a Hispanic family.
Yes.
Is it?
It's a Mexican family.
Okay.
I believe.
All of this,
I believe so,
the first 2 minutes of this all made me very nervous for what was to come.
I mean, considering that it's the 80s, this may have been
very
amongst the only people of color on a Saturday morning cartoon.
Well, Cosby
they,
Kids.
That's why I said almost.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Good for them, except that little girl, I don't need to know her name, says this.
I love sneaking. It's my nature.
The nature of Mexicans is to sneak?
Here's what I will say. I flag that as well because for a different reason, because I was like, what the fuck? They make the girl the one that has sneakiness in her nature? But then throughout the episode, I was like, oh, she's the only one with any balls. So so actually I was like, oh, I kind of like that they like made her the one that's like really gung-ho about literally everything.
She's the one that she's bucks fearless. Her parents and like sneaks out the window at night to go
She's
party.
Not cautious and she's not she's fearless. And so I actually ended up appreciating her as a character because I was like, oh, it would have been very, very easy for her to be the one that said, I'm scared. Ghosts. Yeah. I'm too scared of ghosts. But instead, she was the one that was like, bitches, please. There ain't no ghosts. Let's jump into that fucking volcano.
I want to start with just how much money this family has. Because if you notice the flight to Hawaii.
Oh, what? Mexicans can't have money now?
I was literally just going
to
say that.
No, it's because they're flying to Hawaii on a full jet, like a 25-row jet. And they seem to be the only people on the flight. Well, every other seat
wait,
is
hold
empty.
On.
Do we know they're Mexican and not just Latino?
We don't really know.
Let me check. I think
but they
is,
do sneak. It's in their nature. Let's look up that trait.
I didn't write down what they were. I didn't write down anything.
I believe we looked into this at some point in the past and found out that they're specifically. Here to clarify from Wikipedia, the Rubik has fallen out of a stagecoach of an evil magician.
Oh, what?
Don't know if it's actually a Romani magician or just a magician, which is
it could be David Blaine.
I mean, he reminded me of like the bad priest in The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
It was like a Disney villain from like the 80s and 90s. Yeah. Yes.
Boop-a-doop-a-doop, Rodriguez children.
Well,
that's a very generic Latino name, as opposed to.
It is spelled with a Z, so it's almost certainly Mexican rather than Spanish.
Okay.
However, the theme song, was done by Puerto Rican boy band Menudo.
Oh, so, what?
Are you, wait, what?
Did you not know this?
I did not know this.
Oh, you people, come on.
Oh, my God, was it?
This is.
Was it Ricky Martin era Menudo?
Would have to have been. I sing this while walking around. Can I say this? Ever since we discovered this show, I will be walking around work right now, just being like,
"No, Rubik haunts my nightmares. That voice and that face haunt my nightmares."
Well, I have marked off every point where that
it laughs,
fucking cube talks.
I'm begging
and
it's for it.
All awful.
Of the laughs are chilled me to my bone.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, like I was watching this, and Samir was like watching something on the TV, and I was just watching this with my headphones in on my laptop. And he goes, how was it? And I go, I don't know. And he goes, you didn't laugh once. And I was like, yeah, I was just terrified most of the time.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so just at the beginning of the episode, we meet there's two villains of this episode. They want to steal diamonds out of the volcano.
We got to start out, they're on the goddamn plane.
Yes.
And we find out early on that they're...
I love flying.
Yeah. But it's not as good as flying with Rubik.
Okay, number one. Then little girl pops up with...
Rubik, I understand. This flying mechanical contraption, I don't.
That's super weird. And then here comes Rubik.
Then Rubik understand Lisa.
All you people writing down like WTF, all of that, I will make it simple for you. Rubik... is drugs. Rubik is fucking heroin. It's something. It might be psilocybin mushrooms, but they took this, and then the little green man popped up and said, I understand you, little girl.
I'm the only one that will ever love you.
I will make you fly. I will make you all fly.
Oh, God.
You don't have to listen to science. Science will tell you that this big tube will stay up in the air. I can make you fly for real, organic, baby.
I also flagged this as a very strange line, but then I was like, actually, this kind of makes sense. Imagine sitting a kid down and being like, hey, let me explain an aircraft to you and how it stays in the air versus, hey, let me explain this magic. The kid is going to be like, oh, yeah, magic I get. Magic is real. When you're talking about velocity and weight of a thing.
Why would you be explaining the Bernoulli principle to a 6-year-old girl?
I'm just saying.
Girls can do science, Chan.
Kids
this
ask
one can.
All the time. Kids ask how things work all the
time.
Sure,
then you get her a book like How Do Planes Fly? I guarantee you I will pop up Amazon right now and look up How Do Planes Fly and there will be a book for children that explains something better than this is a mechanical contraption. I don't get it.
But you know who does get it? Rubik.
He's Rubik. The only one who will ever understand
it really
you.
Did it feel like the beginning of like a Lifetime original movie of just like Rubik understands you.
Yeah, and
no
then like in the third
will.
Act, like Rubik is smacking her around in the locker room, telling her to hide her bruises. He gets me. He's the only one that understands me.
Wait a minute, what's she doing in the locker room? What sport does she play?
Lacrosse.
Yeah, I was, uh-huh. I was
6-year-old lacrosse players.
Yep. I was thinking field hockey.
Gotcha.
So we there's a lot to unpack. Just they're trying to set up a lot of ideas. So there's a ghost on the island. There's a tiki god. Duke is a bad guy who wants to steal gems
I think after your last mistakes with saying people were voicing people that they weren't, we need to check on this.
We will check, but I'm pretty sure he's right.
Damn it.
I'm sorry, Gene. I can be right once in a while. If I'm wrong every time, we lose the intrigue.
That's true. It's the guessing that keeps him going.
It's more the 1 out of 10 times I'm right about something. It's like, that's my celebration. there's just so much here. And this is the first of the Rubik laughs that just is
really
upsetting.
God. So
upsetting. Well, I'll just go further while you're looking that up. But basically, there's a point.
It is Michael Bell.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Take that, everybody. there's a really, like, weird thing. Okay. So Rubik unhinges his jaw and eats a bunch of sand.
Yep.
And it was basically anything out of a horror movie. It was something out of a Nightmare on Elm Street movie that was friendly and fun for kids.
And then it pukes up a sandcastle. The sandcastle is like a crab who I have a feeling that crab just lived 90 years of its life while in Rubik's mouth.
Wow. It came out aged like Interstellar.
Yeah, exactly. Like I think it was like, how long was I gone? And the other crabs are like, you were only gone for like a second. And he's like, it felt like 900 years.
But in crab years, that's kind of less because it still looks fairly ambulatory enough to scare the crap out of Rubik.
His brain aged, like not his body, but like there's that.
So he's all like racist now, and
people don't know. You're thinking of old people are racist because they were racist when they were young, right?
Oh my bad.
Age doesn't just make you racist; it's just you refuse to conform with the times.
Actually, it kind of does make you a little bit racist.
But it's like
people
that
start fearing
it's like,
robots stealing their medicine.
That's true. It's like that Ray Bradbury short story where in the future you can teleport, but you have to be asleep, and the whole reason they have to put you to sleep, as we find out in the last few seconds of the book, is because you live multiple life. It's like it's time is like endless in there. So if you don't go to sleep, you live like multiple lifetimes and you come out and you think you're 800 years old, but you're still a 12-year-old boy. It's a real dark, dark story, I guess, guys.
Glad we went there.
I do want to say, like, to further my point, these children have become addicted to Rubik. Like, I can't build a sandcastle, Rubik.
Yeah, you're right.
Do it for me. And he's like, all right. I want to do this, Rubik, to fucking make me a fucking elevator.
I actually had the thought of like, oh, like she was like, damn it. That's two times that I built a sandcastle and it fell down. And then Rubik did it. And I was like, what the fuck? That's not the point of the point of building a sandcastle isn't so it's done and you could look at it. The point of building a sandcastle is while you're building a sandcastle.
Yeah, this is like, Rubik, could you lift, could you bench press that thing for me 40 times?
Yeah.
And then he does it, and you're like, wow, now I'm so strong.
Yeah, yeah. Or like, oh, I really want to color, but I want it to already be done. Like,
That's
but I will say that I like that the villains are white guys, and the family is not white. And the heroes are, none of the heroes are white.
Although, arguably, the eyebrows on the main guy makes me think he might be a Vulcan. or some sort of, like, half clown, half human.
Yeah, so they steal a bus, and they go to the Forbidden Volcano with their tour guide friend.
His name is Chemo,
and that was upsetting.
Wait, why? Why was his name was upsetting?
I just, when they said, like, here's my friend Chemo, immediately I was thinking of chemotherapy.
Oh,
And I was just,
I thought you just hate Hawaiians.
Oh, yeah, I was KIMO. I don't understand.
Yeah,
why.
Exactly. I was like, is Ray going to say something about how he doesn't believe that that's a real name?
No, it's totally fine. It's just as soon as they said, this is my friend Kimo, I immediately went to cancer. And it was sad.
It makes sense. After doing so many drugs, it lowered their resistance to certain diseases. Their white blood cell count got drastically reduced.
What if they all have cancer?
And this is the story that they're telling.
They're smoking weed so that they can, you know, like, block the pain and then also have an appetite so that they don't starve themselves to death.
Yeah.
And they smoke so much that the little green man comes out.
Yeah.
And, like, here's Kimo. He's your friend. He hurts you sometimes, but really he's there to help you.
Yeah. This is how this is going to end, and we're going to find out that this was all directed by David Lynch.
Yep.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, okay. So we find out there's a ghost at the Forbidden Volcano, but there's also treasures. So they're going to go there and have an adventure. So they do. They steal a bus, which I think is wild. And they end up going to what I remember as Fireball Island. If you remember that board game from the 80s, that feels exactly like where they're at right now.
I do not remember that board game.
You guys at home, Fireball Island was a physical board game that was three-dimensional, and you played little adventurers like Indiana Jones guys, and you were trying to get the jewels of the island. Meanwhile, they had these little red marbles that would go down tracks, and if you landed on the track, it would, like, kill you.
This is basically Mousetrap.
No, because Mousetrap, you're building a thing that's not going to work. In this, it's more like
you're asking Rubik to build it for you and play 99% of the game.
And then you always have to take the diver and, you know, you have to press down on the thing because it never works, right?
Okay. There's a vintage version of it available for $167.50.
Yeah. It was one of the games of my childhood that it's got to exist. At least the board is still around somewhere because you had little bridges and stuff. And so on different moments, the Fireball Island would, like, shoot the marbles and, like, kill your dudes.
Oh,
you
got to get down to Game House and see if they have that. I do not even remember this. 1986 game.
Yep. I mean, this era.
It's going for $350. You still have your version, man? You
it's
this
probably
for $400 on.
Well broken by now.
Damn it, Ray. Travel back in time and tell. Oh, wait, I kind of recognize the front of this box, to be honest.
But that's all I could think of was just, like, as they're climbing the side of the mountain, I'm just thinking of just, like, giant fireballs and, like, tiki idol heads at the top spitting them down at them. And I don't know. It just brought me all the joy.
I was pretty pleasantly surprised with how not racist most of this was.
Oh, not racist most of this was.
Like, I'm glad that he wasn't all of a sudden like, ooh, let's do a Hawaiian chant. And then it was just like nonsense words.
You mean like at the end where they have a genuine luau, which is four parents at a at a picnic table and the kids in a circle clapping their hands. Hey. While Rubik wears a grass skirt and is embarrassed because apparently Rubik is a male.
No, Rubik is not embarrassed. He was delighted. He was flushed with pleasure. He was not.
He was embarrassed.
No, Gina, he was flushed with pleasure.
I don't think you understand the difference between flushed with pleasure.
He had a smile. He was smiling and he was flushed with pleasure.
Gina, please don't say flushed with pleasure anymore.
Yeah,
that's
the worst. That's worse than what I thought it was. So, I mean,
at the end of it, he's wearing the grass skirt. He is engorged with blood.
I mean, it was hilarious, but he's shaking his booty like nobody's business.
That is correct.
And he turns around. He's got a smile on. He's got little dimples. His cheeks are red. His eyes are closed. And he's like, He loves it.
Oof.
He loves it.
Neither Ray nor I want to pursue this line of questioning.
No,
he likes it.
But maybe we will ask Samir later. Is this how it goes?
They're not forcing him to wear this grass skirt and hula.
No, they're not. But he's doing it, and he is feeling awkward because this is what ladies do.
Okay, first of all, Rubik is genderless.
You'd think. And if he were genderless, then he wouldn't be flushed red. He's flushed red in his cheeks.
Yeah, he's. Do you understand how exercise works?
Oh, jeez, I don't think that's what they're going for.
If he were sweating, wait a minute. What is he like doing? Some like seriously aerobic hula?
Wait,
is it,
so. Wait, so do you legitimately think that anytime anyone is blushing, it's because they're embarrassed?
In a cartoon? 100%.
I go that route.
They're
that
blushing with pleasure.
That is not a thing that happens in
80s
cartoons.
Yes, it is. Like, watch. When a guy compliments a girl in 80s cartoons, the girls blush because they're like, ooh. Because
they're embarrassed by the attention.
Because they are pleased with the attention.
My goodness. Whoa. Whoa. Okay.
So they got to climb the steps.
Now
I'm going to
have to
go island.
Back to regular show and like, yeah. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
When the characters flush red, are they aroused? Is that what's happening?
I'm not saying aroused. You can enjoy things without being aroused.
Can you? I have not known
not
that
if you're
true.
Flushed red. If you're flushed red and you're enjoying something, that is only arousal.
You can be laughing really hard and you're red in the face.
And then you pop a boner.
That is.
You could have a red rocket.
Is that what you call it?
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
You ever wonder if your routine is actually working or if you're just hoping it is? The Hume Band gives you real answers. It tracks your body 24/7, heart rate, sleep stages, recovery, stress, even blood oxygen, so you can see exactly how your habits impact your health, not just steps. Real data. You'll start to notice patterns, like how a bad night of sleep affects your recovery or how stress is holding you back. And instead of guessing what to fix, the app gives you clear, personalized insights based on your data, so you can stop second guessing and start making smarter decisions for your body. Visit humehealth.com to get the Hume Band today.
Now back to G.I. Joe.
God damn it. All right. Listen, I'm going to get...
And we haven't even delved into the weirdness that is... Okay, I'm going to do it right now.
Yeah,
I'm going to delve into the weirdness that is Rubik.
Take us there.
Rubik, take care of kids.
That is a kidney diddler. 100%. That is a
he has sex with them
object that molests children.
He takes care of them. He dumps
Rubik
their bodies.
Rubik takes care of kids.
He molests them and then he dumps. But also to him, it wouldn't be. He doesn't molest them. He loves them. He's a NAMBLA member.
Yeah. No. He loves. That's what every. Like crazy clown dressed up dude who has sex with kids and then murders them and dismembers their bodies and scatters them in, you know, like various holes in the forest. He says that he loves them. That's why he does it. None of them say like, I hate children, so I'm going to have sex with them and then cut them up. He says, I love them, so I must have sex with them and cut them up.
So
also, does
yes.
Rubik have legs?
Yes, sometimes. Rubik has legs when he wants to.
Yeah.
That.
I'm sure if this show became more popular, they would have released a toy that would have,
for sure,
that like would have let you attach a face and arms and little legs to your Rubik's Cube.
Oh God! But like, why doesn't he have legs all the time?
I am convinced. I have a theory about this that based on Rubik's power set and general way of being, I'm pretty sure that Rubik is Dr. Manhattan from The Watchmen.
Oh,
and that he can change his form whenever he wants to. He is all powerful.
Well, then why can't we see his dong?
100% the question I was going to ask.
Also, I think it's because it took me about halfway into this episode to realize, oh, only when you put the Rubik's Cube together is he anthropomorphic.
Yep.
But when he's not together, he's like horribly trapped in there.
Yep.
Yes.
Like he's like, oh, and you're like, oh.
This is very upsetting.
Which is also how terrifying is that to a kid? Like if you're a fan of this show and you have a Rubik's Cube, which I as an adult can often not solve Rubik's Cubes.
Yeah, I'm terrified.
If you're an 8-year-old kid and you're like, oh shit, I got to solve my fucking Rubik's Cube because there is a tiny man in there that's in excruciating pain anytime it's not solved. Oh no.
They definitely watched Gremlins and were like, that's awesome. I love the sound of that Mugwai crying with displeasure and sadness. Let's turn that into a toy.
And instead of just making it a Mogwai, they made it a terrifying.
It's
actually it does
God
kind of have
it,
a
Rubik.
Little bit like if you guys had a Gizmo doll when you were little, which I did, the this tiny part of the face was like plastic and the rest was like fur. Mm-hmm. And the tiny part, if you like took the fur away, was kind of terrifying.
Wait. So you destroyed your Jesus.
No. Oh,
did you love your gizmo, Gina? Wow. Did you love it so much that you had to have sex with it and then dismember it and bury it?
It's still intact. I'm just saying, if you like covered its hair with your hands and just looked at the face part, it was terrifying. So it would be like someone ripped off Gizmo's face and put it on a Rubik's Cube.
Okay. Well, from between the talk of Gina dismembering her toys and Chan dressing like a clown and having intimate knowledge of where in the woods to bury things.
Wait, what?
I've never felt less safe on this show.
Has Ray not mentioned that Chan has been dressed like a clown this whole time?
This is normal. Why? This is my own house. I can wear what I want.
Could you imagine if we just came into podcast and Chan was just in full John Wayne Gacy clown gear and then never mentioned it once?
Paintings up on the walls.
I'm not going to lie. I would kind of dig it if, like, there was that Homer Simpson clown college one where Homer gets the clown pants and he says, no pair of pants has ever fit me so well. And then Krusty goes, those are supposed to be baggy pants, baggy, but they fit Homer perfectly. I would kind of dig it if Chan just started wearing clown pants because he thought they were comfortable.
Chan, you got a mission.
I'm getting there. I definitely need to do some exercising or that will be my fate.
Okay, well, in climbing the mountain, the volcano, Kimo, like a dope, falls off the edge, and Rubik gives up the game of who he is by saving him. After
about 30 seconds of falling.
How long does it take to fall in this world? Because they, like, what happens is he falls, and you're like, oh, well, that kid's dead.
Yes.
And then immediately. In the meantime, they're like, oh, no, we have to do something to save him. Yeah. He's falling off of this maybe 5-story place. It's not like it's from a plane and we can have this whole conversation because it's super, super high up. It's not like he's falling from space. Should we do something? Do we think he's a quadriplegic yet? If only we had some sort of thing, you know, like a thing, like one of those mattresses that some people, we don't have one of those. What else do we have?
Yeah, what would they have done? They're like, we've got to save Kimo. Like, okay, you run real fast down these stairs and catch him before he lands.
It's like a 10-minute conversation that they have while they're deciding how to save this boy who just fell off of like a 200-foot thing.
What I love about it is he falls and the other kids just sort of look at each other like, well, he's dead. I mean, I guess that's it. Oh, that's pretty terrible, but at least it wasn't us.
Also, I want to know the science behind what are Rubik's limitations?
None.
Because there were certain parts in this where I was like, oh, why not just zap them all right into the center, right where the treasure is? Why not just do this? Why not just do that? He seems pretty picky about when he uses his powers.
Well, it's when they ask. I mean, he's like, they're like, do this thing. Okay. Like, there's nothing they have asked him to do that he hasn't done.
Well, I think Rubik is probably afraid because he doesn't understand our world, and he doesn't even understand the scope of his own powers. And so I think Rubik only does things on command because he's afraid of killing somebody.
Wait, but can he bring the dead back to life?
Here's the thing. All we've seen so far is just basically limitless telekinetic power.
Yeah.
That's true.
Because he becomes an elevator.
Yeah, he becomes a steam shovel. He was that surfboard at the beginning. Please, do you have? Oh my god, I know that we're going back, but do you have a soundbite of? Because the kid's like, this is so much fun, and then Rubik has a terrifying response.
Rubik, have fun too.
Yeah, that's what I wanted.
That laugh is way too long.
Yep.
Yes, a psychopath.
Young boy with just skimpy swim pants on. Just lay on top of me. Yes. Rubik having fun.
There are many different levels to that laugh. It starts out like somewhat normal, like, ha ha ha. And you're like, what's happening? It's almost like he's trying out different laughs. Like, he's like, hey, tell me which one of these is right when it comes to humans. I'm going to test out 15 different laughs during this 5-second period.
God. Well, they decide, since Kimo knows now about Rubik's magic powers, they're just like, fuck it. I guess we don't have to do this shitty climbing anymore.
Is this now, do we think that this is a thing where, is this like an Alf situation where they don't want to reveal Rubik because they're afraid they'll cut him up?
Yeah,
I would think
or
so.
Someone
or they'll like harness his power,
turn him into a weapon, defeat Russia.
Got it.
Oh god, this little girl. I do not like to throw around the B word very often. I have tried to excise it from my vocabulary.
Boy,
this little 6-year-old girl. Kimo was like, "Wow, like maybe you tell me like this weird story that you have because we're friends now, and like let's just as a conversation." And a little girl says,
"That's a long story, and I'd rather not go into it."
I love her.
This is another reason why I love her. So I love her because, like, originally when they were talking about ghosts, she was like, "Pussies."
I love the skepticism.
I love her. And then I love this because she's setting up clear boundaries. It's like, hey, man, I don't need to tell you stuff about me just because you ask. I don't know you. We've climbed up a mountain, but
I'm taking you to the sacred crystal, my motherfucking ancestors. Maybe you fucking cut me some slack.
Oh, so what? You expect a hand job now because you showed me your ancestral burial grounds? I don't think so. I thought this was you were showing it to me because you wanted to. Now you've seen my magic cube.
No. They were all like, show us your crystal. I'm like, no, I don't want to. You're not supposed to. It's dangerous. Show us the crystal. All right.
So you're saying that she's better at setting boundaries than he is. Even more reason to love her.
Okay. So we get to the top of the volcano, and Rubik falls in quicksand and somehow falls into the volcano through quicksand, which I'm not.
Totally normal.
Shan, what's the science natural on that? Is there.
Quicksand always has a bottom.
Spits out into a volcano.
Yeah.
Sure. And so we meet the ghost, and this is when I wrote, what the fuck is going on
Here's the thing. Ghosts don't have footprints, so I thought they were Scooby-Dooing us.
Yep. I honestly thought the same thing.
I thought that this was like, oh, I haven't figured out how to get the treasure out of this mountain. I've been in here for like a couple of months trying to figure out how to get it out. Meanwhile, I'm setting up a holographic projection, or I've been like wearing a costume.
Yep.
And ghosts don't have footprints. So when it turned out this was a real ghost, I was like, what the hell are you talking about? Not only is it a real ghost, is it supposed to be Mayan or something? Because it sounds like an old Jewish white man.
A couple of things. One, yes, I have my notes right here. Ghosts do not leave footprints.
Yeah.
And I really thought the ghost was going to end up being like Michael Bell, the villain.
Yeah, like why is that fat white man the guardian of a Hawaiian volcano?
Yeah. At this point in my notes, I have written,
the scared noises.
Yes.
Literally, this is all my notes right in a row. It's not over yet. It's still going.
It's a haunted house theme song, theme track.
I stopped it because it did not. It kept going.
It's like when you go to a party and a Halloween party, and they have those tapes that just are sound effects.
Can I tell you, when I was a kid, I used to go to the library and I would get records and tapes of the screaming and I would just play them.
Oh, Ray.
Around the house, and it wasn't even Halloween.
The screams helped me sleep.
And you saying that just reminded me of how insane a person I was.
I mean, Ray's a serial killer, right? Like he can't sleep unless there's screams.
Yeah,
I wrote, this is the point in my notes
where we're all terrible.
I wrote, like, I thought I had a big breakthrough because I realized, I think Rubik is special.
He's like
developmentally disabled, Gina.
You can still say special.
Mm.
I think you can still say special.
Mm.
Don't look at me for answers. I will say the wrong thing, and we can trust in that.
He's differently abled.
He has telekinetic powers.
Yeah, that's different.
I mean, technically, you're correct. He has different abilities from human beings.
I'm just saying he...
You think he's one of the slow kids?
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah.
I
don't know. I don't
know
if
he's a fucking inanimate object, Gina.
Well,
can we please not ask him to be erudite and literate?
No, he's an inanimate object, like the way Transformers are inanimate objects. He's still like clearly from his planet. This is what the beings look like.
Well, Rubik has a soul. I mean, like,
oh,
he
crap.
Is.
This opens up a lot of debate.
Yeah, he is an autonomous person. This is where we started this episode.
I mean, I would like to see him do something of his. Like, I need to see more of what he's doing other than just taking orders, because right now he's
more of a homunculus.
Okay.
I mean, clearly he was created by an evil wizard who stored some power in him.
An evil Romani magician.
And then he escaped, and now he's using his powers to touch children. In their hearts.
But no, but to be fair.
Rubik liked to touch too.
But to be fair, look at where he came from. I mean, that's learned behavior. Like, he would, you know, sure. He grew up in a terrible place. He's going to mimic those behaviors later.
Yeah. Obviously, gypsies like to diddle children and then cut them up and place them in a forest.
That's really the lesson of this show, isn't it?
Yep. That's,
so, okay. Michael Bell gets the crystal. I just have Duke gets the crystal. That's what I wrote here. At that point, yeah, we get the fat ghost.
I'm kind of curious, like, what's his long-term plan? Where's he selling this crystal? Where's he hawking it?
I don't think any of the writers cared that crystals in and of themselves are not valuable.
He's just going to sell it to some Los Angeles hippie for like $1 billion.
What?
that thinks it cleans their chakra.
You can get crystals like that from any of a number of mines for very, very little money.
So you're saying it's a cubic zirconia?
Basically.
But like, I don't even have, I just have some notes, like just random things that happen. Because it's just like the things were happening so insanely and bizarrely. And besides that one scene of menacing that lasted for 18 minutes, quickly. And so I just have like, there's a net, somebody gets their nose pulled.
The ghost, which again, this reinforced my belief that this was a Scooby-Doo thing.
Right.
When Rubik honks the ghost's nose, or when the little girl honks the ghost's nose, which again, props to her, she sees a ghost and she's like, I'm gonna honk your nose, bitch. Mm-hmm. I love this little girl. and then I was like, okay, so ghosts don't leave footprints and they can't get their noses honked. Is this old man McGuffey? Like, who is this?
Yeah. Yep.
It's the guy who owns the abandoned amusement park.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just not even sure. Like,
and this is when he turns into like, oh my God, my nose. Oh, you kids are coming in here and wrecking all my stuff and honking my nose.
And then also, real quick.
Rubik feel much better.
I dare all of us, the next time we have doing it, to after it's done, do that quote exactly. And terrify all our partners.
Better.
My mind immediately went to poop. So as opposed to sex, before I realized you were talking.
Do
about
you
sex.
Get flushed, Gina, when you poop?
Yeah, there's a lot of exertion going on.
Mm-hmm.
What are you eating?
She's doing a blumpkin on the toilet.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I thought we'd get through the entire Rubik's episode without mentioning a blumpkin.
Nope,
but I was wrong. Oh, dear Lord. Ray feels much better now. Blumpkin.
The fact that it's in a volcano and they add an echo to it is 90 times scarier.
And then the volcano just erupts because the crystal's gone, I guess.
No, I kind of like the line because they're like, oh, what if it's a volcano erupting? And the ghost's like, nah, I stopped that years ago. So I was like, oh, all volcano eruptions are because of ghosts.
We're learning science
here. When they stop, they're because of ghosts.
Oh, got it.
Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck you, Krakatoa.
In another cartoon, I would find this meta moment amusing.
That's only on cartoons. This is real.
Nope, not having it this time.
Oh, I want a cartoon just about this little girl. I don't care what setting she is in. I love that she is like the logical explanation for everything. And I again, it doesn't even bother me that she doesn't have a logical explanation for Rubik, because she's like, she's the perfect Lost watcher, basically.
Oh, yes.
Like, she's like, when you watch Lost with people and they're like, give me all the explanations for everything. And I do. And then they're like, but what about this? And then I'm like, oh, I mean, like, you want an explanation for something magic?
Yeah.
Like, I can't give that to you. And then they're like, yeah. But this girl would watch Lost and she'd be like, all right, yep. Magic plus science. I got this.
In. That's why Lost was so delightful.
Yeah.
I believe 100% this girl is like a Fortune 500 CEO right now.
Just oh, yeah.
Like she's got that. She's got that.
Yeah, and she terrifies brain. Her employees.
Oh, no. She's not fun to work under.
Yeah, like I would not want her to be my boss.
She's going
to
go on Undercover Boss and have one of those like reclamation, and now I'm supposed to feel good about how shitty you treated your employees for so long because you gave a guy you bought him a truck.
I don't think that she treats them shittily. I think she is a woman who knows what she wants and knows how to run her company, and she's not polite like other women. And so men in the company are like, oh God, dragon boss lady, right? Such a bitch. Always breathing fire at us. But really, if it was coming from a man, they would be like, all right, I get that guy.
No, I would still be pissed at the male CEO.
I've had many horrible male bosses who were super shitty. Like, I mean, I never thought once it was just like, well, because he's a dude, I'm okay with it.
I guarantee you they get promotions more.
Well, they were my bosses.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, I heard that all the Hawaiian kids in this episode of Rubik the Amazing Cube left the show when they weren't getting paid as much as the other people.
Ooh, topical reference, Gina.
That's why there's only one. And he's a scab. Chemo's a scab, I believe.
Yeah, just in case nobody knows, Daniel Day Kim, Grace Park both left Hawaii Five-0 because they're like, hey, can we get paid as much as the other dudes who've been on the show the same amount of time?
Same, like,
and they're like, no, we're gonna pay you 15% less.
Uh-huh.
Why?
Because
we're gonna pay you 15% less. No particular reason. There's no reason why the two white dudes are getting paid this much and you're getting paid this much less. Just because
what's with the white dudes though, like, can't remember, wasn't there a show that people were getting paid less and they all threatened to end the show? Why, come on, white
also,
people, get your shit together.
This is going to be into season 8. If you're not standing up for your co-stars,
yep,
they
go
made
fuck
eight
yourself.
Seasons of that
Masioka,
I know,
Masioka
I know.
Left last season too, just because it's long enough. You can go after 7 seasons.
I thought that I watched the pilot episode of that show and then did not realize another episode was ever made of it.
Except if it wasn't for the commercials that I see,
I don't
like,
have cable,
randomly.
So I don't see commercials.
We have the CBS app, and so
got
we
it.
Get the pop-ups all the time.
Yeah, in case anyone doesn't hate CBS enough already, every show that they picked up this season stars men.
Finally.
And
why don't you have a show about a dude for
CBS
once?
Is the worst. I just wish like all of CBS would go away.
Well, I love The Amazing Race. That's the reason we have Amazing Race and Price is Right are the two shows
it'll
that I love.
They'll get picked up on another
Let's
station.
Let's Make a Deal is a pretty good show.
They'll get
okay,
picked
it
up
is
on
a good
another
show.
Station.
Yeah.
They'll get picked up on another station.
This is the only reason I pay the $6 a month for the CBS app is so Melissa can watch Price is Right and I can watch
Ray,
Amazing Race.
You're giving those people money?
Gina,
they promise.
We need him to do that so that we can watch Star Trek without paying
That's
for
the
it.
Other reason.
He's I watch everything at work
to
for
be fair,
free. So.
They did promise me that all $6 of my payment go to Daniel Day Kim. So I'm
and
part
that's
of the
all
solution.
They pay him.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
It.
I guarantee you when the explanation comes out, it will be the same bullshit that they try and say about when they pay females less.
Right.
Like when they tried to pay Gillian Anderson less than David Duchovny.
Which is bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
All of X-Files is bullshit. I hate you, X-Files, now. I hate you now.
Gosh.
No, because they recently had a whole thing where they have zero female writers in the writers' room this season.
Yeah.
They hired no female writers. And they've only had two female directors in the history of the show.
One of them was Gillian Anderson.
One of them was Gillian Anderson. Also, do you know how long that show was on?
Honestly, I never really watched X-Files a whole lot.
Oh,
so
it's
I'm...
great. But also, no one ever watch it again and send them all your angry letters.
Now I missed out.
No.
I wish I would have seen it back in the day because now I'm not allowed to.
Yeah, now you're not allowed to.
There's nothing to me. Okay, so Duke steals the crystal and he has a sled, a full-on sled. He puts this guy planned ahead for a thing he didn't know what he was looking for.
Yeah.
Like, good job, you. Somehow he stole it.
At some point they say, like, hold on.
Chan's making a point now. It's
Chan's
his theme
music that he wants
song.
To listen to.
They say,
Chan rant.
A whole crystal. It's heavier than I thought.
This thing is larger than both of them put together.
That is correct.
It is a mineral.
Yep.
How heavy did you think it was going to be?
I will say that I got my hopes up because at some point they say, oh, no one knows how the crystal got there. It's sort of like Rubik. Who put it there? We might be able to unlock mysteries.
This is an interesting thing.
Yeah, and I was like, holy crap, is this an episode where we get some answers? Like maybe Rubik's because
they're next to each other, maybe they'll glow.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought it was just gonna be a small cube shaped crystal and then it was gonna be like, oh, this is a missing part of who he is. That was like Chekhov's crystal not paying off at all. Like they were like, oh, it'll unlock the mystery of Rubik. Nope, the episode's over.
No, we're actually just going to put it back in its own like holder and we're done.
Yeah, I guess. The ending of this was very frustrating.
My question is like, why? I know that the Duke is bad in this. Why is he bad? Like, to, as near as
stealer,
I can tell,
Ray.
But nobody owns the crystal, do they? Like, it's embedded in a rock. Oh, I would think, go get it. Like, he's
Ray's
a scavenger.
The type of guy that's like, we can steal land from the Native Americans. They don't own the land.
Thank you.
I
bought it.
Mining rights are a thing. Okay. And you can't just like go on to government-owned land and just be like, I'm going to take this stuff. Okay. And then also it's, yeah, I'm surely, it was protected by
Hawaii where there are no rules.
I believe
you're thinking of Outback restaurant, totally different thing. Also it was probably like, listed as, I'm not sure what you call it, like a historical landmark or something like that. And so like it's protected. It'd be like, going in and like dynamiting Old Faithful or something like that. You know,
it's only a matter of time in Trump's America.
True enough.
So there's a huge chasing that happens, and they, like, barrel through a crowd of people.
Rubik fucking levitates all of the kids and flies them around. Kimo's like, holy shit, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. Little girl.
This is neat.
You'll get used to it.
Okay, I have to admit, that line did rub me the wrong way.
That's some bullshit.
Now she's just being a contrarian. And also, she's like the friend that when you set up a group of friends to go to Disney. I've never gone to Disney with y'all, but I am delighted by literally everything.
Yes, mm-hmm.
I spend the entire time going, whoa, look at that ice cream cone. Oh, my God.
Why would you go to Disney and be shitty?
Yeah, and I can understand that it might be exhausting to people, but that's how I am. I'm exhausting. And it's like going with that one friend who you're like, oh, my God, did you see that ice cream cone? It was huge. And then someone being like, oh, I bet they used milk from cows that got like mistreated.
What? No. No, it's more like, yeah, whatever. I've seen bigger.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I don't want to go to Disney. I don't want to go to Disney with that person. I don't want to go to Disney with this little girl.
Do you remember like the person you go to like, and they're always like, they get sick every single time and need like 45 minutes in the bathroom?
What?
Do you ever have like that family member who just like—
Are you taking cancer members to Disneyland?
Yeah, I took chemo.
Wait a minute, are you saying that your family members just go to Disneyland and then just
get sick?
Do plumpkins in the bathroom while you're
also,
no, I'm going to do a thing. Wait for me here.
Yeah.
I hope not.
Don't get in line for the Matterhorn. No. Wait
also,
for me.
Is it possible they're using this as an excuse to get away from you for 45 minutes?
Ooh, that's
well,
solid.
I wouldn't blame them for that whatsoever.
Maybe they climb out the window in the back and just go around.
You don't have the party pooper, like either the friend who always is just never is having a good time and always is like, oh, I feel sick, or like they go on a ride.
Oh,
and now it's like,
I ditch
now they
want to
sit on a bench for an hour.
I ditch those people.
You can't do it when they're your family.
No, you can. You can say to them, hey, we're going to go and get in line for this ride. Why don't you sit and wait here and cool off? And then you just never come back, and then come back like, no.
They're still there today.
No, you come back like 2 hours later, and you're like, oh, I'm so sorry. The line was so long, and then we just decided to hop on another line. Are you ready to go again? And if they're like, yeah, I feel a little bit better, then you're like, great. Or if they're like, oh, I don't feel well. Does anyone want to go home early? You're like, yeah, why don't you go home, and then we'll – seriously, I'm not – If
that
I
sounds
paid
mean.
Money, if
Gina
I paid
don't
money
fuck around
them,
with her fun time.
No,
seriously, I don't.
I hear that. I'm a very economical theme park person. I would never wait 2 hours in line for one ride when I could do seven lesser rides in that same amount of time.
Agreed.
Yeah, but I have my Disney science. I have my Disneyland
Disney
going
PhD.
Down to a science. It is you
PhD
go
Disney,
in.
Ray.
You go in. You get your Fast Pass for Space Mountain. you go to the other park, but on the way out, you get a Matterhorn macaroon and a coffee so that you can drink it and eat it on the way to the other park, where you get another fast pass in the other park and then stand in line for one of the ones that later in the day. Nope. So now you have two fast passes going at the same time. You're in line eating a Matterhorn macaroon and drinking coffee. As soon as that ride is over, it's time to go back to the first park for the first ride. And then once that's done, you get another fast pass. You go back to the second park for the next ride. You've always got to have two fast passes in play at any given time so you can ride the maximum number of rides.
So, Chan, when are we going to Disney without you now?
Jesus Christ, man.
That sounds exhausting.
I got a Universal pass, so I don't even understand what's going on here.
You don't just wander. You have to like A, B, C, D, E, go across. I like to just wander and just do things that look fun.
No, but when you – so you have to keep an eye on – so you have to get the app to see what has the longest lines can avoid
that.
There
was an app. What?
This is like while you're in line for one line, you go on your app and see what – because you have to hit certain rides. There's like 10 rides at Disney that every time you go to Disney.
Well, yes.
And then you could just be like, all right, we've done all the rides we wanted to. Now we wander.
Gina is the Benito Mussolini of fun.
Hey,
she makes sure those fucking trams run on time.
Listen. The first time I went with Samir, he was like, this is so much better than when I went with my family because we just wandered and got no rides in.
Oh, no, you get rides. You look at the map, you pick something, you go to it, you do the things along the way.
You look at the map and you pick things and then you go to it and you realize, oh, there's an hour and 10 minute wait for this line. Do you wait in that line?
And then you get on Dumbo.
Aren't you there to enjoy things with your family and like talk to them and enjoy the experience?
I mean, you talk to your family literally all the time.
I don't.
No, I do not.
I do not. I call my mom like twice a year.
Okay. Well, I talk to my mom every day and...
this is starting to – I'm starting to get some clarity here.
No, like we email every day. But also if you're going with a significant other, come on. You would rather talk to your significant other for 8 hours than ride rides with them and get churros with them and get turkey legs with them and see the parade with them and put Mickey ears on them?
Well, you got to do the Mickey ears. That's just a thing.
Turkey leg, Gina.
I said turkey leg.
Turkey leg.
I don't like the turkey leg.
We've talked about turkey legs before on the show.
Turkey legs gross me out.
Oh, well, correctly. So getting to the end of the episode, police show up. The police show up, I mean, which is exciting. They arrest Duke. Sure. It just sort of ends. Like, it's just one of those things, like, they just ran out of ideas.
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't end because they put the crystal back on top of the mountain in a holder.
In a holder, yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck? Everyone's going to notice this. You're going to cause, like, mass suicides.
Why would people be killing themselves?
I mean, you're either going to cause them to kill themselves or cause them to start cults.
Because all of a sudden, like overnight, a gigantic contraption holding an enormous crystal has now appeared in the place where like this sort of semi-historical, mystical thing has shown up.
I'd be more worried about now that you're drawing attention to it, and so people are going to steal it more because now it's got a cool holder.
No, now the holder is designed, but seriously, think of an already superstitious people who already believe that the crystal itself was good luck.
Is that how you feel about Hawaiians?
Yeah.
Those backwards superstitious people.
At the beginning of the episode that they like, oh, this is like a magical thing. Mm-hmm. So now you take those already suspicious beliefs or those already superstitious beliefs and you're like, boom, here's a new thing. And they're going to be like, some of them are going to kill themselves because they think it's going to spell impending doom. Other ones are going to, like, worship it like a god and then start sacrificing virgins to it.
All right. Now Gina's being racist.
No!
The problem is
not... If we woke up and all of a sudden the Statue of Liberty was giving everyone the middle finger, there would be people that were like, throw virgins into the Hudson River!
Well, I'm concerned not for the religious superstitious types, but for people who have simple common sense and are, you know, and look up and see a thing that has appeared out of nowhere...
It was traveled through town first before they did this. Like everybody got a good look at the crystal as it was murdering them by running them over.
That's true. I guess a lot of them are already killing themselves at this point.
Yeah, there's this weird, creepy, you know, like claw-like appendage made out of metal that is now sitting on top. And it's not like a place where you could have easily like airlifted something like that. Or I guess maybe you could theoretically airlift it.
But also, that must be how they put it back.
But also I guarantee you that people are going to examine it and they're going to say, we don't know how this metal was bent.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. There are no like hinges. It's like when people are trying to figure out crop circles, And everyone was like, aliens. And then some people were like, maybe a hoax. And they're like, no, it's physically not possible for humans to have done this.
Well, they were wrong.
Yes, they were wrong. I'm saying that was like a commonly held belief. I remember that from the time I was little up until I would say like 5 years ago was the first time that someone was like, hey, you know, they figured out what caused all those crop circles that had everyone thinking it was aliens for the last 30 years.
Yeah, it was like a it's redneck art is what it is. It's just farmers with boards and they walk on them and they create concentric circles.
Yeah, I know, but do you know how long it took people to figure that out before they were like, well, end of the world.
Gina, people are dumb. I don't know how to break this to you. I guess, you know, my final thought here is we ended with the luau. Because now the bad guys are put away. The kids are enjoying their Brady Bunch style vacation. Uh-huh. And yes, we get to Rubik is wearing a grass skirt and embarrassed by it.
I ended or engorged with pleasure.
Yeah, one or the other.
I ended with one word and it just says terrifying.
And guys, that is Rubik's the Amazing Cube.
Rubik.
God damn it.
It's not plural, Ray.
Well, you call it Rubik's Cube for like a million years, and all of a sudden you're going to ask me, like, why are there not more kids?
That's
named
like if
Rubik?
I said, like, oh, are we going to Ray's apartment? And then everyone was like, oh, his name's Ray's.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you go to Ray's place. Like, if Ray had like a rib joint or whatever it's called, Ray's place. You'd
why
go
don't
there.
I have a rib joint called
yeah,
Ray's
but
place?
Yeah, but then if I was like, oh, I podcast with Chan and Ray's. This is why you make no sense.
Yeah, she's not wrong.
I mean, look, when have I ever made sense? I guess I'll
start.
I'm
just saying, if you don't pronounce it properly, Rubik is going to come out of the TV,
oh, no.
sit on your chest while you're asleep,
oh, no.
and then poke your nose until you wake up, and it's going to go, Ray, Rubik having so much fun.
Let Rubik sit on your bare chest. Rubik enjoying himself.
Rubik having fun, too.
Well, that was terrifying.
I kind of hope you have a waking nightmare about
I'm
it.
Gonna wait. This is, oh dear.
Let us pause and remember the poor little girl, whatever her name is,
Judy?
Who Jerry? Passed away from cancer after an extended. She lived many years, mostly in a marijuana edible haze. She's just eating all those little cubes. And uh-huh. having hallucinations about visiting Hawaii
well, okay.
and other places. There's one where she was a superhero.
Terrible.
I had to choose between the superhero one and the Honolulu one. And I went with this one because I was like, superheroes are overdone.
Oh, man. I would have liked to see the superhero one.
Well, Gina, you can watch
fate
it.
Would have
no,
it.
No,
take that link
uh-uh.
and just go back 22
no,
minutes.
Nope.
You'll get it.
No.
Well, thank you, Shayna Abel, for supporting the show with the Patreon.
Wait,
so
put air
happy.
Quotes around that, thank you. You put air quotes around that.
Don't worry about that. I know, I've been wanting to do an episode of Rubik, and I really hope, I said it right that time.
Yep.
Yes, I could see you being like, okay. I really want to do a very Rubik Christmas. For Christmas this year, there are so many good choices. Like
Ray
I
wanna, wants to ruin Christmas, is what he's saying.
I yeah. want to do that. I want to do When Savage Stole Santa. I still like. I want to do all the classics for Christmas time.
These are not classics, Ray. These you don't are, know the meaning of the
to
word
me,
classic.
They are classics, even though I haven't even seen the Rubik episode yet. But yeah, thank you, Shane, for being a part of what we're doing. And I Rubik. Shit like this exists, guys.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't have much else to say about it. So, guys, thank you so much for listening to the show. You can always check us out, facebook.com/knowingishalfthepodcast, patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast, just in case we ever use this episode on the main feed. Until then, this show's beating a lot of life out of me. So, can we just have one more Rubik laugh, just maybe to take us
Why
out?
Why would you want that?
I want it. I want it in my life.
Why would you? That is...
He liked it.
Good night.
Ever wonder if your routine is actually working or if you're just hoping it is? The Hume Band gives you real answers. It tracks your body 24/7, heart rate, sleep stages, recovery, stress, even blood oxygen, so you can see exactly how your habits impact your health. Not just steps, real data. You'll start to notice patterns, like how a bad night of sleep affects your recovery or how stress is holding you back. And instead of guessing what to fix, the app gives you clear, personalized insights based on your data, so you can stop second-guessing and start making smarter decisions for your body. Visit HumeHealth.com to get the Hume Band today.